good morning. My name is Scott Longfellow. I think most all of you know me, so I won't spend a lot of time introducing myself. And you also know that we are in the midst right now of searching for a full-time pastor, and the elders are taking turns in delivering the sermons. I've spent much time in prayer preparing to teach, as the elders have shared, filling the pulpit over the past year. And honestly, it has been a rich time with the Lord, growing in His Word and being quite stretched, honestly, both in terms of time and handling of God's Word with fear and reverence, wanting to magnify Him and draw all of us sheep closer to Him. I know that what I have personally supplied to the message is inadequate, but I trust that the Holy Spirit is doing His work among those who belong to our great God. I hope you find delight in His Word as we study today. Noah was a man of great faith, a man of old for us to look up to. I'd like to have you, if you would, please turn in your Bible to Hebrews chapter 11 and follow along as I read. And I'm going to read starting from verse 1. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. For by it the people of old received their commendation. By faith we understand that the universe was created by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things that are visible. By faith, Abel offered to God a more acceptable sacrifice than Cain, through which he was commended as righteous. God, commending him by accepting his gifts, and through his faith, though he died, he still speaks. By faith, Enoch was taken up so that he should not see death, and he was not found because God had taken him. Now before he was taken, he was commended as having pleased God. And without faith, it is impossible to please him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. By faith, Noah, being warned by God concerning events as yet unseen, in reverent fear constructed an ark for the saving of his household. By this he condemned the world and became an heir of the righteousness that comes by faith. What an encouraging chapter, Hebrews 11. This has always been one of the most encouraging chapters in the Bible to me, at least since in my early high school years. It is so encouraging to see the great faith of others. There have been so many older men in my life that have demonstrated great faith. Many of those men are present with the Lord now, and I'm so thankful to know that they are with Him. There are so many here now and present, even in this room, both brothers and sisters, whose faith in the Lord has been an encouragement to me. How much more can we be encouraged by Noah? What a man of faith. So what is faith? Well, to best understand, let's look at the first three verses of the chapter, which describe the nature of faith. And that is, of course, Hebrews chapter 1 through 7. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for. This word faith is pistis in the Greek, which means faith or belief, trust, confidence, fidelity, faithfulness. And then faith also has a secondary meaning of an assurance or guarantee. Again, that word pistis, the Greek word for faith, or translated faith in English, in secular antiquity, it referred to a guarantee or a warranty. And then in Scripture, faith is God's assurance, His warranty, certifying that what He has revealed, what He has promised, will come to pass. In Old Testament times, people had to trust on the promises of God. God told them of a coming Messiah. They had to trust God that a Messiah was coming who would take away their sin and make Israel clean. God's faithful believed His promises, and they did not have the light we have in the new covenant. Faith is living in hope that fully trusts with absolute assurance in God's promises. That's what faith is. The Old Testament promises related to the future. The faithful among God's people took God at his word and simply followed him. And then from Hebrews 11:1, so faith is the assurance of things hoped for, and what else? The conviction of things not seen. Abel and Enoch, remember Enoch from Genesis, Enoch, who had a son that was the oldest man to ever live, but died before his father did. If you're the oldest man to ever live, who is that? That's Methuselah. How could you die before your father did if you're older, if you're the oldest man to ever live? No, because your father, Enoch, didn't die. God simply took him. Noah truly believed God and acted upon it, as did Abraham, Isaac, Jacob and Joseph, Moses and Rahab, and Gideon and Barak, Samson, Jephthah and David, and Samuel and the prophets, all of those who were mentioned in the scripture reading from this morning in the chapter about faith. All of those truly had faith. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were confronted with the choice of obeying Nebuchadnezzar in the book of Daniel, whom they could see. Nebuchadnezzar was right in front of them, and he was a clear and present danger to them. They could see him. Do they have faith in him? Do they trust in him or God, whom they had never seen? Without hesitation, they chose to obey God. And as it says in Hebrews 11:6, and without faith, it is impossible to please him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. And then we come to our passage this morning, and that's Hebrews 11, verse 7. By faith, Noah, being warned by God concerning events as yet unseen, in reverent fear, constructed an ark for the saving of his household. By this, he condemned the world and became an heir of the righteousness that comes by faith. Well, this verse, this one verse in Hebrews, condenses Genesis chapters 6, 7, 8, and 9. And it assumes you know the story, and that makes sense because this was written to the Hebrews, and they knew the story of Noah. And I'd like to have you, if you would, please turn in your Bible to Genesis chapter 5. And in the Pew Bible, that's on page 5. And I'm going to start reading in verse 25. This is where we'll pick up the story. And this is a story of the genealogy of Noah. I'm not going to read through the entire genealogy, but we'll pick it up in verse 25 with Noah's grandfather, Methuselah. So if you would please follow along with me. When Methuselah had lived 187 years, he fathered Lamech. Methuselah lived after he fathered Lamech 782 years and had other sons and daughters. Thus, all the days of Methuselah were 969 years, and he died. When Lamech had lived 182 years, he fathered his son and called his name Noah, saying, out of the ground that the Lord has cursed, this one shall bring us relief from our work and from the painful toil of our hands. Lamech lived after he fathered Noah 595 years and had other sons and daughters. Thus, all of the days of Lamech were 777 years, and he died. After Noah was 500 years old, Noah fathered Shem, Ham, and Japheth. When man began to multiply on the face of the land and daughters were born to them, the sons of God saw that the daughters of man were attractive, and they took as their wives any they chose. Then the Lord said, my spirit shall not abide in man forever, for he is flesh. His days shall be 120 years. The Nephilim were on the earth in those days, and also afterward, when the sons of God came into the daughters of man, and they bore children to them. These were the mighty men who were of old, the men of renown. The Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intention of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And the Lord regretted that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him to his heart. So the Lord said, I will blot out man, whom I have created from the face of the land, man and animals, and creeping things, and birds of the heavens, for I am sorry that I have made them. But Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. These were the generations of Noah. Noah was a righteous man, blameless in his generation. Noah walked with God. And Noah had three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Now the earth was corrupt in God's sight. And the earth was filled with violence. And God saw the earth, and behold, it was corrupt. For all flesh had corrupted their way on the earth. And God said to Noah, I have determined to make an end of all flesh, for the earth is filled with violence through them. Behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make yourself an ark of gopher wood. Make rooms in the ark and cover it inside and out with pitch. This is how you are to make it. The length of the ark, 300 cubits. Its breadth, 50 cubits, and its height, 30 cubits. Make a roof for the ark and finish it to a cubit above, and set the door of the ark in its side. Make it with lower, third, second, and third decks. For behold, I will bring a flood of waters upon the earth to destroy all flesh, in which is the breath of life under heaven. Everything that is on the earth shall die. But I will establish my covenant with you, and you shall come into the ark. You, your sons, your wife, and your sons' wives are with you. And of every living thing of all flesh, you shall bring two of every sort into the ark to keep them alive with you. They shall be male and female, of the birds according to their kind, and of the animals according to their kinds, of every creeping thing of the ground according to its kind. Two of every sort shall come in to you to keep them alive. Also take with you every sort of food that is eaten, and store it up. It shall serve as food for you and for them. Noah did this. He did all that God commanded him. So God speaks for the first time personally to Noah here in verse 13. And he will speak to him three more times in chapter 7, verse 1, chapter 8, verse 15, and chapter 9, verse 1. And God says to Noah, build a big box, an ark, Tabah in Hebrew is the word. The word Tabah is only used one other time in the Old Testament in Exodus chapter 2, verse 3 through 5, to describe the box the baby Moses was put in to float down the Nile. God used a box to save Moses, through whom Israel would be saved, and God used a box to save Noah, through whom the human race would be saved. And thinking about that ark, 300 cubits is the breadth, and then the width is 50 cubits, and the height is 30 cubits. A cubit is equal to the length of a forearm, which is typically about 18 inches. That could have been just a little bit of give or take back in that day, but fairly close. That would make the ark about 450 feet long, 75 feet wide, and 45 feet high. So around the length and a half of a football field long, a giant, giant structure. By the way, that by way is the length, the width ratio of 6 to 1. Shipbuilders today will tell you that 6 to 1 to about 8 to 1 is required for stability. That is a massive structure. It would have been mind-boggling to Noah. And it was built such a way that it's going to be stable, even as we know by today's standards. And of course, God gave Noah the instruction. But how strange I would think that must have been to Noah. But what did Noah do even with that strange, or maybe seemingly strange, instruction? We have to remember that Noah probably didn't live anywhere near a giant body of water, so he wouldn't have really had a concept of this. And by the way, this is not a boat. I noticed that it is shaped in a rectangular format, and so it's not like a a regular ocean-going vessel that's going to cut through the water or make special movement. It doesn't even have a rudder. So what did Noah do? He did all that God commanded him from verse 22. Noah had faith. It did not start with God's command to build the ark, though. Noah was already a man of faith, and how do we know that? Because Genesis 6:9, up back a few verses that we just read, Noah was a righteous man, blameless in his generation. Noah walked with God. You cannot be righteous without faith or have righteousness without faith. Righteousness can only be obtained through faith. For Noah, faith in God. God promises to establish a covenant with Noah in verse 18. And we're not going to cover that this morning. But you can find that covenant at the end of chapter 9. And I would encourage you to read the story of Noah. And that's in Genesis chapters 5 through 9. How strange it must have seemed to build this box. Extraordinary in size, even by today's standards. Noah didn't gain faith through works, but work did pour out from Noah's faith in God. James, in his writing, in chapter 2, verse 26, tells us, "For as the body apart from the spirit is dead, so also faith apart from works is dead." I remember a song, I think probably that came out maybe in my young adult life, a guy named Rich Mullinger wrote it, and it was, "Faith without works is like a screen door on a submarine. It just doesn't work." We can't earn our way to God by any amount of work. And remember that this chapter was written to a group of people that had put so much focus into earning their way to heaven through works, to earning their way, they thought, to God's heart through works, which doesn't work. It is about faith. But when we have faith, that the result of that faith should be works poured out from our hearts to do what God would like us to do. When Noah went out and cut down the first gopher tree, that work was based on faith. Noah warned the people of his time about God's impending judgment. And by the way, how did he do that? By faith, Noah, being warned by God concerning events as yet unseen, in reverent fear constructed an ark for the saving of his household. And by this, he condemned the world and became an heir of the righteousness that comes by faith. 1 Peter 3:20 says, "When God's patience waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was being prepared, in which a few, that is, eight persons, that's all that were saved." We just step back just for a minute and think about what that corruption looked like. That God should decide to kill almost every living creature is because they were completely corrupt. They were constantly doing evil. That's all that was in their heart. And to be honest, I think that's kind of sobering when you think about what we see around us today in the world. Eight were saved. And of course, we know that God's never going to destroy the earth like that again, because he made a covenant with Noah not to do that. But in 1 Peter 3:20, it says, "When God's patient waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was being prepared, in which a few, that is, eight persons were brought safely through water." And then Noah was a preacher of righteousness. How do we know that? We don't. In looking at Genesis, we don't see Noah actually being specified as to having preached. But we do know from 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 5, that he did not spare the ancient world, meaning God, but preserved Noah, a herald of righteousness. Herald is also synonymous with the word preacher or preaching. So Noah heralded righteousness. with seven others when he brought a flood upon the world of the ungodly, also became an heir of righteousness. He believed the message that he preached. Noah became an heir of the righteousness that comes by faith for all those who have put their faith in Christ. We have all become an heir of righteousness that comes by faith. That is the only way to be saved. It is through faith. For us, we have Christ through faith, and only through faith can we receive the gift of salvation and eternal life. For those whom he has called, he gives us faith. And how does he give us faith? Romans 10:17 tells us that faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. And if we are an heir of righteousness, works will pour out of our faith. Again, James 2:26 says, "For as the body apart from the spirit is dead, so also faith apart from works is dead." And in our faith also, and I would have, if you would, turn to Philippians chapter 2, and I'm going to read verses 1 through 4 from there. So Philippians chapter 2. And I like how Paul says this here to the Philippians, starting in verse 1. "So if there is any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy, if there are any of those things, and if we have Christ, if we have faith in Christ, we have those things. We have encouragement in Christ. We have comfort from love. We have participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy." Paul says, "Complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord, and of one mind. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others." So, as a result of faith, one of those things that would be an outpouring from us would be that relationship with others that are born again brothers and sisters in Christ. That desire to look not only to our own ambitions or anything out of selfishness or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than each of ourselves. And then another thing that would come out as an outpouring of our faith is something that was covered in the sermon last week as well, and that is from Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20. "And Jesus came and said to them, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you.'" And that comes with a promise. "And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." As Christians, of those who have come to faith in Christ, the result of that should be works. It should be obeying God's commands. That's what Noah did. This man of great faith, all he did was follow God's commands. And to go back and read verse 7, "And by faith Noah, being warned by God concerning events as yet unseen, in reverent fear constructed an ark for the saving of his household. By this he condemned the world and became an heir of the righteousness that comes by faith." We have the opportunity as Christians, as brothers and sisters in Christ, to share the gospel with those around us, those outside of these walls. We have the opportunity to show love towards each other that Christ has for us and that would have us have for each other. We have the work that God has called us to do. And like Noah, let's have faith and follow that call that God has for us. Please pray with me. Father God, thank you for your word. I pray that the Holy Spirit will add his rich blessings to our reading and study, that you would build up our faith and so equip us for the work that you have for us. Father, we also ask for a faithfulness that is obedient to actually do the work you have called us to do. For we know faith without works is dead. Thank you, O Lord, for the great salvation we have in Jesus Christ. Thank you for the great encouragement of Noah from your word this morning. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen.